The only time I got to, well, one of the few times that I got to sit very close to Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and we were all watching a drama of the Ramayana. And at the point where Ravan captures Sita, thank you. It was a very tense moment, and I expected that Prabhupada would be, I expected a different reaction. Anyway, I looked at him, and he found it very amusing. The person playing the role of Ravana was a sannyasi, and he not only caught hold of Sita's hand, but he put Sita over his shoulder. So Prabhupada found this very amusing. How his young disciples would fully enter into the spirit of the drama. I want you to imagine a drama that took place not on this day, but on Vijayadashami, the very day that Ram conquers over Lanka and finally defeats Ravan. This day, Vijayadashami, is a day that's celebrated as a very special day in South India, and there are many dramas played out. There's two important dramas. One of them was played out by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I just want you to use the full powers of your imagination. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he played the part of as well. And how many devotees were involved in that play? There were thousands. There's a village in Germany or Switzerland, Oberammergau, where the entire village takes a part in a drama that puts on the crucifixion of Christ and the 3 days and the resurrection and everything. And it's meant so that the whole village becomes stimulated in their devotion. So similarly, whole villages would come together and they would put on a wonderful play. And of course, what better to do a play than a play with no words, if you just have to get dressed up as a monkey warrior or a bear or one of the other members of Ram's entourage or one of the demons in Ravan's vast army, and there under the hot Indian sun to engage in mock fighting. I mean, it's wonderful. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, imagine if Chaitanya Jivan were to send out a special message to all our volunteers, all 1,500 of them, okay, and all your friends, all your contacts, and say, we're going to have a reenactment at Bhaktivedanta Manor. We've got the space to do it. The Goshala can be Sri Lanka. Okay. This can be Ayodhya. Okay. And a distance in between can be the sea. And we can reenact this drama. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So Lord Chaitanya did that, and everybody had a wonderful time. Everybody had a wonderful time. Because to reenact the drama places you in the Leela. Places you in the Leela. And it's so, Prabhupada says that it is the best way to still the restless mind is to take part in a drama. Because you do not have to use your powers of imagination. It's happening all around you. Okay? So I thought I would mention that. We have a verse. The verse is not on the board, but I will ask you to kindly chant the Sanskrit and then I'll read the English. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha Sakshat Brahmamayo Hari Angshangshena Chaturdagat Putratvam Prartita Surai Ram Lakshman Bharata Shatrughna Iti Samgaya the translation. All these translations are by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who closely follows the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra as given in the 9th canto, the 10th chapter. This is text 2. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha. Please repeat. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita 539, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms, such as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead. And they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha in response to prayers by the demigods. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada is the giver of not only Krishna, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but He's also given us all the many different incarnations of the Lord. And that's important because usually gurus don't give to their disciples all the incarnations of the Lord. Prabhupada created a big house so that anyone with any attraction to any of the forms of the Lord could take shelter in one of the rooms in that house. Sometimes it is said that Gaudiya Vaishnavas, therefore, should not deal too intimately with forms such as the form of Lord Narasimha or the forms of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. However, here we find Prabhupada has kept very faithfully to the Bhagavatam, which glorifies these particular forms of the Lord. We're very blessed that in this temple we not only have Shishi Radha Gokulananda, but if you'll cast your eyes over to the beautiful altar that the pujaris have made, very splendid this morning, you'll see the graceful, beautiful, and powerful form of Lord Ram blessing us all with His right hand. You'll see Him with His bow in His left hand. You'll see Him with His quiver full of arrows appearing over His right shoulder. You'll see His beautiful lotus feet with tulsi leaves. You'll see standing faithfully by His side Lakshman, also with bow and arrows. By His side is the ever faithful young princess Sita, who accompanied Ram in all His journeys through many, many trials and tribulations. She is also blessing us. And through her, we get the blessings of Lord Sri Ramachandra. And then at their feet, you'll find Sri Hanumanji, faithful in the mood of the Dasyam, the servant of the Lord. He's in this posture, which means Kinkoro. This posture means, what would you like me to do? It's the posture of the servant. You see? He's ever ready to do Ram's bidding, whether it be making peace or making war. So for that reason, he has his very heavy and dangerous club also on his left shoulder, just resting against his left shoulder. And then in between, you'll see a beautiful Ram Shila. A Ram Shila, of course, comes from the highest point on this planet, many millions and millions of years old. And in this form, we worship Lord Ram today. But if you look behind Lord Ram and contrast with the image behind Lord Krishna, you'll see that Lord Ram is situated in a purple velvet curtain decorated archway, which is one of the archways of Ayodhya. It's a palace. And this is where we see this vision of Ram Darbar. This Ram Darbar means Lord Ram, when he's reunited with Sita, accompanied by Lakshman and Hanuman. And this image you will see all over the world, but it is a courtly image. He's dressed in very fine robes. He's dressed in silks, and he's dressed in a beautiful gem-studded crown. When Lord Ram was in the forest, he had what we would now call dreadlocks. They're all matted for 14 years. His hair was very long. They were in thick clumps, like members of some West Indian cultures. So he had these dreadlocks, or jat, and also Lakshman as well, just tied back. His dress was that of hammered tree bark. You can take tree bark and make clothing from it. Sita had no ornamentation. And so they were living very, very simply. Don't think that they went into the Dandaka forest and the Panchavati forest with beautiful silks and gold ornaments and headdresses. They were dressed very simply. So this is them all reunited for Lord Ram's 11,000-year reign, which makes 14 years in the forest just like that by comparison, you see. But it was 14 years in which they were all separated from where they should be. So we have them reunited again in the palace of Ayodhya. Whereas on the side of Krishna, we see Krishna has no such palace in this form of Gokulananda. He's simply standing by the side of Radha playing his flute. Now, Krishna is not the only one to play the flute. I just want to tell you that. Cowherd boys generally like to play flutes. And because Krishna is a cowherd boy, he plays the flute. You see? But behind him, you'll see the pastoral setting. You'll see the beautiful trees and flowers. No big palace, just simple, simple setting. And just as Lord Krishna is in the dynasty, a family dynasty which originated, he appears. Of course, he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he has no family tree. But if you're going to be born within this world, then you require mother and father to be born through. And so he comes in the family of the moon, whereas Lord Ram comes in the family of the sun. And one of the great kings in the moon dynasty was Yadu, and one of the great kings in the dynasty of the sun was Raghu. So therefore, Lord Ram is called Raghupati, Lord of the Raghu dynasty. Another name is Raghava. You see the names up here. So they're standing together on the same altar. Now, sometimes when we perhaps come into the temple, our gaze will fall on Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. You see. But for today, I just thought I would redirect your gaze to Lord Ramachandra. Two different incarnations. You see? Two different incarnations. Krishna says, I come many, 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 many times. Ramadi Murti Shukalani Amena Tishtan. He says, Yada Yadahi Dharmasya Glanir. Every time I'm needed, I come. Paritranaya Sarunam, to rescue the good people and to clear the path so that their lives can come to me. And I come to vanquish those who put obstacles in the path of those who are devoted to me. But when he comes as Krishna, he comes as the supreme personality of Godhead. And when he comes as Lord Ramachandra, he comes as the supreme personality of Godhead. Oh dear. A little bit of a confusion here. Prabhupada says here, Lord Ram comes as the supreme, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Okay? So Krishna deems to come in a particular form to accomplish certain purposes. Now, if you take anything away from this class today, I please want you, especially the younger members, I want you to take away the difference between Krishna Leela and Ram Leela. And the difference is that Lord Ram comes to show Dharma. He comes to show how to be a human being. A great human being, yes, a king, a person who's showing others how to be as great a human being as they possibly can, but he comes, and that is his purpose. So therefore, everything that Lord Ram does, he's setting the example. So when Lord Ram is a brother, if you copy Lord Ram's Leela, you will be the best brother than anybody possibly can be. You understand? If you copy Lord Ram's activities as a brother, how kind he was, how tolerant, how affectionate he was to his brother, Bharat, Shatrughna, Lakshman, you will be the best brother. How many of you? Raise your hand if you're someone's brother. Okay, very good. So if you copy Lord Ram's pastimes as being a brother, then you'll be the best brother that you possibly can be. You see? If you're in charge of other people, you see, and each one of us has somebody who looks up to us as an example. There's not one of you that nobody is looking up to you to set an example, be it your children, be it your people that you're helping forward in spiritual life. If you copy Lord Ram's activities, you will be the best leader that you possibly can be. You see? And men, how many of you are husbands? Sorry, ladies, this is just for the men at the moment. How many of you are husbands? Okay. How many of you would like to be husbands at some time? You don't have to put your hand up, okay? Okay. If you copy Lord Ram's activities, you will be the best possible husband. Who could be a better husband than Lord Ram? Tolerant, courageous, protective. You see? All right, now my gaze is over here. How many of you ladies are married or would like to be married at some point? A forest of hands, as thick as the Dundaka forest. So if you follow the activities of Sita, you will be the best possible wife. Therefore, Lord Ram is called the giver of Dharma, the giver of discipline, because he followed Dharma himself perfectly. And therefore, he's known as Mariyad Purushottam. Purushottam means the personality of Godhead. Mariyad means one's personal disciplines in following Dharma. Things like cleanliness, honesty, mercy, affection, truth, courage, justice, all these items. If you follow the pastimes of Lord Krishna, you will end up in the Sunday newspapers. If you try to dance with other men's wives, you may end up with no nose, like Sopranaka. If you try to steal butter from someone else's house, very soon you will end up in Borumwood police station. Okay? If you try to be married to one person and talk to another intimately and dance with another late at night, you will find that no woman will ever trust you. So when Krishna comes, he comes as Lila Purushottam. He comes as Adi Purusha, the supreme enjoyer, or a person who's come to show his supremacy in the kingdom of God. When Lord Ram comes, he comes to show a king's supremacy and the supremacy of Dharma for all human beings in this world. And there's a big difference. Now, why is it important that we understand these things? Well, because sometimes when the older generation of devotees came to Srila Prabhupada, we brought with us some Abrahamic Dharma. We knew what it was to be a good person, you see. We knew what it was to be a bad person. I'm not saying everybody followed that, but there was some Christian dogma, some Jewish dogma, sometimes some Islamic dogma to tell us. The next generation in Krishna consciousness, it's very easy to get confused because devotees spend very little time talking about Dharma. We talk about transcendence, how to transcend rules and regulations rather than follow them. Isn't it? Because our main books are Krishna convincing Arjuna really not to follow the laws of Dharma but to sacrifice everything to him, or Mahabharata, where Dharma is confused. It's actually confused. When we read Ramayana, this is a book of Dharma, you see. Everybody's cut is a very clear cut. You know, who's Ahalya, who's Jatayu, who's Ravan, and they're caricatures. That's why Bhaktivedanta players like to play them so much, because they're stereotyped characters, they're archetypes. Okay? Ravan is completely bad, although his wife is completely good. And if you follow the example of Ravana's wife, you will be the best wife that there ever could be. How is that possible? Because she is one of the... Actually, Ravana's name and Mandodari's name is one of the names that we read out at every wedding. Not that most of you would know this, but the wedding priests know this, that we read out the name of Mandodari at every wedding. We say, may your marriage... May you as a wife be as strong as Mandodari. Because her devotion to Ravana was excellent, super excellent. It's just that he happened to be not worthy of that devotion. But still she was devoted. So we see Dharma there, you see. Where was I? Remind me, I've drifted. Where was I? We were talking about... We were talking about Dharma. Yeah, Mahabharata and Ramayana. Thank you for paying attention. Very good. So in Ramayana, we have the archetypes. In Mahabharata, it's a little confusing. We're getting towards Kali Yuga, where Dharma becomes sacrificed for other things. You see? We look at the picture, we look at Bhishma. Bhishma, Mahapita, was someone that we follow. He chants the Vishnu Sahasranam. We follow him. He gives the rules of Dharma to Yudhishthira. We follow Bhishma's rules on Dharma, or at least we try. Karna. Karna, confusing character, you see. He was fighting on the wrong side, and he's one of the people that Krishna says, Arjuna, you kill him. But at the same time, there's something in us that would look at the character of Karna, and we would say, this boy, look at the way he was brought up. Mother didn't want him. He was sent to the adoption agency of the time. He was put in a basket, for God's sake. He was sent down the river. He was picked out of the water by some, you know, lower caste charioteers. But he himself was always struggling with his identity. In other words, if you were to psychoanalyze Karna and Karna's life, you would find a person who was, you know, abused, neglected. You know, he was a case for the NSPCC. You see? If you analyze that. But was Kunti doing the right thing? Yet she is one of our great characters. You see? So therefore, there's a mixture. There's a mixture of heroes and heroines. And Karna, he's a lovely person, but at the end he has to be dispatched. Why? Because he makes his allegiance with the wrong person. You see? And Mahabharata is like that. We're not quite sure of the characters. You see. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it begins at the point, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, you see, Nirmat Saratam Satam. It's higher than ordinary Dharma. And all along, Acharyas seem to be telling us, abandon Dharma for Sharanagati. Abandon Dharma. Transcend ordinary Dharma. Transcend attachments to your family and your friends. Transcend the truth, if telling the truth for Krishna means telling a lie. You see? So we have to be very careful that in bringing up of children in the second generation of Krishna consciousness, they not only get transcendence, but they get Dharma as well. Otherwise, we will have the whole second generation of Krishna consciousness dancing with other men's wives in the name of being followers of Krishna. You see? Unless we hear Dharma at some point. Now, everything can be compressed into cleanliness, austerity, truth, and mercy. That is true. All religious principles can be compressed into cleanliness, truth, austerity, and mercy. Or, as devotees like to call them, the four regs. Okay. But that's simply a slogan. The four regs will not teach you that when you borrow money from someone, how long you have to take before you pay it back when that person is a devotee. The four regs will not teach you how to act as a brother when your brother's not a devotee. You see? The four regs will not teach you how not to speak malicious gossip about other Vaishnavas when you think that it's the truth. You see? So the problems we have in our community will not automatically be solved by appealing to just a simple slogan. You see? So we have to understand. And therefore, we also have within the Srimad Bhagavatam the example of Lord Ramachandra. The difference between Lila Purushottam and Mariyad Purushottam. And so, Ramayana, the story of Lord Ram, is 24,000 verses long. And each chapter is a secret code within the Ramayana. Each chapter of the Ramayana begins with one of the letters of the Gayatri Mantra. You can follow through. 24,000 verses and 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The story of the Ramayana has been told many, 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 many times by millions of people over thousands of years. You will find the story of Lord Ramachandra chiseled into stone on one of the biggest temples in the world, the biggest temple in the world, in Cambodia. It is known as Angkor Wat. And if you go, the entire story of the Ramayana is there. Next door in Thailand, the official name of the king of Thailand is always King Ram. King Ram the first, second, third. He has his title. You'll find the story of Lord Ram in Indonesia. Very, very ancient temples. You'll find the story of Lord Ram in Bali, of course. Another one of the chains. You'll even find the story of Lord Ram in Africa. And of course, throughout India and now throughout the world, you'll find the story of Lord Ramachandra. So why has the story of Lord Ramachandra become so popular? You see? It is because it is easy for an ordinary person who may not wish to transcend ordinary family relationships to know how to have perfect family relationships by reading the story of Ram. It's an adventure story. You see how exciting it is? Even children, just putting on a 5-10 minute play can immediately bring us into an exciting story. When filmmakers, movie makers produce a script, they know that you have to have something called the emotional arc. It takes you through the range of emotions, and somewhere in there has to be jeopardy. There has to be a hero, and there has to be a counterpoint to the hero. There has to be someone who is the anti-hero. There has to be, will the hero actually make it through? Well, of course, in a Hollywood movie, he always does. But when God himself is telling the story, then you can expect the best story. So the story of Ram is full of very unexpected twists and turns. When we watch it performed by children or the Bhaktivedanta players, or we watch it in cartoon form, we have the basic narrative. But actually there are many plots within the Ramayana and subplots to those subplots. And spinning outwards, there will be always a sage ready to impart wisdom and knowledge. So it's a wonderful story. But the story is told very briefly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right through the history of India, we find persons who have kept the story of Lord Ramachandra alive for their followers. And a king, of course, that is very dear to the heart of the Vaishnavas, who Prabhupada used to chant his prayers, was King Kulashekar. Kulashekar used to love the story of the Ramayana so much, but the only problem was he would become absorbed in the pastime so much that he would jump off his throne and he would head out towards Lanka. And so the Brahmins would skip, always, they'd always skip the story where Sita is captured by Ravan. They would tell all the other stories, but when they got to that point, they would never recite that point to the king. So there was a new Brahmin, and he didn't know this. He was a young Brahmin. So he was just narrating, and Kulashekar said, "Really? Sita's been captured? That happened?" And he said, then immediately, "I must take my army and go and defeat Ravana." He was completely in the pastime. And this happened a couple of times. And one time the army had to split in half and come through a forest and then come towards him from another direction. And so they said, my lord, we bring you good news." They're faking it. "My lord, Ravana has been captured, Sita's been reunited with Ram, and they've all gone back to Ayodhya." And Kulashekar said, "Oh, thank you. That is good news. Let us return to my capital city." But another time, they didn't manage to capture him in time. Didn't manage to confront him in time. And he got as far as the sea. And he kept going. He kept going. And eventually, the horse disappeared from under him. He was riding his horse into the sea. And then Sita and Ram themselves had to appear to him from the horizon. They said, "Dear King," they said, "we have been reunited. Please be peaceful. Go home." So he had to be protected from becoming absorbed in the pastime. So it is described that Lord Ram loves his devotees. It's also described that the Ramayana is a book where we see what it means to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Sri Vaishnavas like to refer to the Ramayana as there's the four Vedas, and then there's the Sharanagati Veda. And the Sharanagati Veda is the Ramayana. Because at each point in the story, you will find somebody surrendering to God. Somebody surrendering. You'll find Hanuman surrendering. You'll find Bharat surrendering. You'll find Sita surrendering. You'll find Janak Maharaj. It was said that Janak Maharaj's mind was like a lake. And there were two swans swimming around in that lake. One was Ram and the other was Lakshman. And when he saw these two boys, he became so entranced. He said, "Immediately, these young men must marry my daughters. You see? But we must have a competition." And so there was a competition in which to see who would take the hand of his daughter. And of course it was Ram. And then his other daughters married the other boys. So not only they went home, but they went home with four girls and had a very big wedding. I would imagine that they had a lot of servers at that wedding. So Lord Ram loves his devotees, and Lord Ram is so merciful. And this theme of Lord Ram being so merciful is a theme that's constantly been repeated throughout the Ramayan. Again, the Sri Vaishnavas who have Lord Ram as their object of devotion, just as we have Lord Krishna as our object of devotion, and our verse, which sums up everything that Krishna wishes to say to the soul, as he says to Arjuna, is our 1866. Please repeat it very loudly. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. This is called the Charama Shloka, if you like, the final order, the final instruction. And this final instruction from Krishna is there. But there's also a Charama Shloka for Lord Ramachandra. And it's a beautiful, beautiful... Before I get there, it's a shloka which comes where Vibhishan, who's Ravana's, you've seen the story. Everybody knows the story of the Ramayana, right? I don't have to bore you all with retelling the story. Okay, I mean, there's 50 verses here. If you want me to read the story, maybe a little later we can read pieces from the story. But the this principle of Sharanagati or surrendering to Krishna. What does Sharanagati mean? It means it. Sharanagati has six components. Always doing things which are favorable to the service of the Lord. Then, always avoiding those things which are unfavorable to the service of the Lord. Always seeing the Lord as your protector, whatever situation you're in. Always seeing that whatever you need in life, once you've surrendered to the Lord, He will give that to you. He'll maintain you. And then, having great faith. Having great faith. And then remaining humble. I'm giving you seven here. Mahavishvas is Guptritve Varanam and the other. Then having great faith that the Lord will be your maintainer and protector. But once the Lord, once you know, once you're convinced that the Lord is protecting you and maintaining you, to not become proud. You see. And finally, Atma Nikshepa, or Atma Samarpanam, completely surrendering the self to the Lord. This Sanskrit definition of this word, Samarpanam, or Nikshepanam, mean the same thing, or Atma Nivedanam. We have Atma Nivedanam, Atma Nikshepanam, Atma Samarpanam. It actually is in the mood of a consignment. Like sometimes someone comes to the reception and says, I've got a package for Mr. Arkarya Sevaka. Okay, always packages for Mr. Arkarya Sevaka. For Acharya Sevak in the shop. So these packages come, somebody has to sign for them. That's why it's called a consignment. Consignment. Once that person has made that consignment of a very valuable thing, he has nothing more to do with the package. He just delivers it. And the person who signs for it completely takes it over. So consigning oneself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as part of the process of Sharanagati means to take body, mind, and soul as a package and say, my Lord, from this day forward, I would like you to sign here, please. It's now yours. Everything I have, everything I am, everything I own, could you sign for it, please? Could you take care of it? I'll have nothing more to do with mind, body, or soul. I'm just the jiva. But everything else I've... Of course, Ramanujacharya says an even higher principle is when the devotee understands you cannot even do that. Because the Lord has already signed for it a long, long, long time ago. You already belong to Him completely. Nevertheless, we go through the process of making that consignment of the self to the Lord. So one person who wanted to do that, his name was Vibhishan. But Vibhishan was Ravana's brother. And the monkeys and the bears, they were very worried about Vibhishan, because he's come from the capital of evil. He's part of the evil axis. You know, he's come from that place that where all the bad people were coming from. It's a trick, they said. It's a trick. Now, one nice thing about the Ramayana is we find Lord Ram follows Dharma even when it's difficult to follow Dharma. And that's why the Ramayana is so glorious, and why it's been chanted by people in villages, millions of villages all over India for millions of years. Because not only does it show how to follow Dharma, but how to follow Dharma when it's tough. And that's the difficulty, you see. When the Jews were taken by the Germans and put in prison camps during the Second World War, they found that some people followed the codes of religion and some people forgot about it. Some became so challenged that in the challenging situation, they no longer followed anything. So when a religious person is gravely challenged and still makes the right decision, that person goes on to be glorious. Therefore, we glorify Maharaj Runty Dave, because even when he was fasting, he shared his food. We glorify, in the same canto, we glorify Maharaj Ambarish, because even when it was damn difficult to follow Dharma, he did it. You see, even when he wanted to break his fast, but was kept waiting. And let us glorify Maharaj Ambarish today as we try to, desperately try, to follow the fast. You see? Yes. I'm not looking at you for any particular reason. Just you fidgeted at the wrong time. So let us try and follow that fast. Why? Because we've been asked to. You see? So when it's very, very difficult to follow Dharma, but you do it anyway, when it's very, very difficult to stay married, but you do it anyway, when it's very difficult to not talk to someone else's wife, but you do it anyway, when it's really difficult to pay back the money that another Vaishnav lent you, but you do it anyway, when it's very tempting to engage in malicious gossip, but you bite your tongue anyway, and you don't do it, you're following Dharma. No one ever said that Dharma was easy. It is very easy to be a devotee when there's curd in the sabji. You see? It is very easy when the kirtan is jolly. You see? It is very easy when everything around you is tranquil. The sun is just rising. The birds are singing. Very easy to chant japa. But when it comes time to make a difficult decision, and you still do it because you know that it's the right thing to do, that's Dharma. And that's what Lord Ram shows us as Mariad Purushottam. And that's what's in the Ramayana. Because at different stages in the Ramayana, we meet different persons who are really dharmically challenged. They were really challenged, you see, to follow Dharma. But they did it anyway. Don't you think that Mandodari, wife of Ravan, don't you think that was something went through her mind? My husband, he's trying to fight Lord Ram. He's captured someone else's wife. They knew the principles of religion. See, she knew Dharma. They knew he's doing something really wrong. But he's my husband, and I'm going to stick with him. You see? That's Dharma. So Gaur Govinda Maharaj tells a story from the Ramayana. And because these are his words, I'm going to repeat them as he said. Because the monkeys, they complained. They said to Lord Ramachandra, he can't join you. We've worked really hard to be in your army and to be with you. We've been with you for a year looking for Sita. And this person just wants to come from Lanka at the very last minute and be your devotee. Don't trust him. So this is the story that Lord Ram told to the monkeys. The Swamiji begins. The Ramayana describes how Lord Ram built a bridge and crossed the ocean to Lanka. Before the battle with Ravan began, Ravana's youngest brother Vibhishan came to take shelter of Ram. Ram immediately gave him shelter. That is the duty of a king, a kshatriya. If someone seeks shelter, you must give him protection. But the advisors of Lord Ram said, no, don't give him shelter. He's from the enemy's camp. He has come here as a spy. Lord Ram then told his advisors a story. Please listen carefully. It's an interesting story. Once upon a time, a man was passing through a dense jungle. In that forest, there were many tigers, lions, and ferocious animals. One tiger came to attack that man, so he climbed a tree and saved his life. But the tiger had developed greed to drink human blood. So the tiger sat down underneath the tree to wait. He then noticed a monkey in the tree. He said to the monkey, you are my brother. This human is your enemy. When you jump from one tree to another to get fruit, the human beats you and throws stones at you. And when you come down from the tree to the ground, he sends his dogs to catch you. Human beings also cut down trees, so they are your constant enemy. You should understand this. You are very intelligent. You are my brother and my friend. Don't stay with such an enemy. It is very dangerous. Push that man down off the tree. I am hungry. If you do this, then I'll get food. I'll satisfy my hunger and our friendship will remain forever. I'll be very, very grateful to you. Push him off the branch now. The monkey replied, oh, my brother tiger, I understand what you have said, but this human being has dharma. Although I am an animal with no dharma, still my conscience says that it is wrong to put one in danger who is trying to save himself. Then the cunning tiger thought of another plan. He began to speak to the human on the branch. Oh, my brother, you have dharma. You are a human being. You're not like that monkey. Is it not your dharma that you should give food to one who is very hungry? These are the principles of dharma, and I'm very hungry now. You must give food to a hungry jiva. You should push down that monkey, and then I will get food. The man thought, yes, very good. And so he pushed the monkey off the branch, who fell down in front of the tiger. But the tiger didn't eat him, and the monkey climbed back up the tree. The tiger had developed greed to drink only human blood, so he didn't eat the monkey. No one eats the flesh of a monkey. And then the tiger said, oh, my brother monkey, you see, we are friends. I didn't harm you. I spared you because we are friends. But see what that irreligious man did. He pushed you off the branch, down right in front of me. So now you should push him down so that I can satisfy my hunger, and thereby he will get a good lesson. So what do you think the monkey did? Push the man off the branch, right? The monkey said, this man may be adharmic. Although I'm only an animal, I am not adharmic. I cannot do this. It is considered that the human birth is a rarely achieved superior birth. But they have a history of irreligiousness which is not even found in the society of animals. You see, sometimes humans, they take a great, great deal of encouragement and force sometimes to follow dharma. So Lord Ram told this story and said, this is my mission. I've come to establish ideal behavior in human society. So he never transgressed Veda Maryad. So then he said, if someone comes to take shelter of me, I never think of his past history. I immediately give him shelter. Vibhishan has taken shelter of me. I have given him shelter and he is my friend. No one should have any doubt about him. He has been made the commander in chief. So this is the nature of Lord Ramachandra. So here's the Charama Shloka according to the Sri Sampradaya, the beautiful shloka that Lord Ramachandra says. First the shloka, one shloka before it. Mitra bhavena sampraptam na tyajeyam katam chana dosho yadyapi tasya syat satam etad agarhitam. So Lord Ramachandra says, I cannot refuse to receive under any circumstances one who has come to me in a friendly spirit. Even if there is wickedness in him, his acceptance is not reprehensible in the eyes of good people. So then a little while later he says, Sakrideva prapannaya tavasmiti cha yachate abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dadamye tadvratam mama. It is my eternal principle that if any living being takes shelter of me, even once, saying, I am yours, then I award that person freedom from all fear. So that is the beautiful shloka spoken by Lord Ram. As Ramanujacharya was telling that story, before he got to that particular shloka, some people stood up because the monkeys were coming out with a long list of disqualifications to be in the company of Ram. So they were getting very, you know, distressed because they recognized they had all of those symptoms on the list. And the monkeys were making a very convincing argument why Vibhishan should not join. So then they stood up and they walked away. So Ramanujacharya, he called out to them. He said, why are you leaving my class? Have I said something to upset you? And they said, well, Swamiji, you're reading out the list of disqualifications and we understand we will never in this lifetime get Lord Ram's company because we have each and every one of those disqualifications. And he said, no. He said, you come, you sit down. He said, even though you have those disqualifications, he said, I promise you today that I, as your guru, I will introduce you to Lord Ram. I will introduce you to Lord Ram. So that's why they see Ramanuja Acharya as a in a different category than the person who gives them initiation. There's a different understanding. Then even after initiation, if I have these disqualifications, then the Acharya will surely introduce me to the Lord. This is the Mahavishwas that they have. So I want to just tell you something else, actually. Something else that I found very interesting. I was saying that Lord Ramachandra follows Dharma and exemplifies Dharma even when it's difficult. But at the same time, of course, we find Dharma and Adharma in Ramayana. We find what I was talking about. Where do we find malicious gossip in the Ramayana? Where do we find gossip? Huh? Mantara. Right, Mantara. She's gossiping. Yogi? That's right. Now, I'm not one to talk. And I don't know if this is true, but I heard that even though, you know, this is confidential, just between me and you, don't tell anybody else, but I heard that Sita was in Ravana's palace many years ago and Ram took her back. Isn't that, I mean, it's outrageous. You know, he's supposed to be the king and this is how he behaves. He's supposed to be Dharmaraj. So this was going on, and it was coming from the mouth of a washerman who doesn't have such a high position in Vedic culture, but even though the washerman was saying these things and it was overheard, still Lord Ram didn't want to be the cause of scandal. And so he reacted accordingly. And of course, Sita then returns to the forest and then returns to the earth. He's showing that he's following Dharma even when his very beloved Sita was going to be taken from him. So the whole of the Ramayana, not the whole of the Ramayana, but you know, the big episode that we all enjoy is when Sita is taken away from Ram. Lord Ram cannot tolerate Sita's separation, or his separation from Sita. And yet when it comes time to act according to Dharma, Lord Ram himself will take her to the forest. He will give that order. So how is that possible? The very thing that the first part of the story is about, the second part of the story, the resolution of that, because he's Mariad Purushottam. That's why. When we're making a film of the Ramayan ends with the reunification and living and see. But there's still 11,000 years of the story to go. There's a lot happened afterwards. So I wanted to talk about... there was one other place where there's malicious gossip. Can you tell me what it is? Something to do with a nose being cut off. Who resorts to gossip? Sorpanak, yeah. And what does she... What's her gossip like? That's right. You see? She says, yes, Kara's dead. Dushana is dead. Triyasha's dead. 14,000 ogres, they're dead. You know, that's an insult to you. But let me tell you something now. Lord Ram's wife, she is so beautiful. She's like this. She's like that. Her waist is like this. Her breasts are like this. Her eyes are like this. Her hair is like this. Her feet are like this. But he's the wrong person for her. You're the right man for her. And if you were to capture her, she'd make a perfect bride for you. I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm your sister. Ooh. If someone could take a knife and put it in through the ear, that's what she did. Because her speaking to Ravana in this way was actually like taking a red hot arrow, because the ultimate conclusion of that gossip was that he had an arrow through the heart. You see? So you have to be very careful who you listen to and be very careful what you say. It can destroy lives. The whole Ramayana is predicated upon this principle. Dasharath he wasn't completely careful in what he said. You see? Kaikeyi saved him on the battlefield, and he said, I'm so grateful. I'll give you anything you want. Very big promise to make to somebody. I will give you anything you want. Now, in those days, if you said, you told me that you would give me anything you wanted, you couldn't turn around and say, oh, did I? I can't. I don't remember. Is it in writing? Was there anybody there? Did I give you a signed document? Was there a contract? Yeah, I was, you know, it was really difficult. I made the promise when it was, I'd just been fighting. I was exhausted. I didn't know what I was doing. There was any number of reasons why Dasharath could have said, look, that was then, this is now. Or, I didn't know that you were going to cash in your promise by asking me to send my son to the forest for 14 years. If I knew that, you see. There was another boon, actually, because Kaikeyi had actually been promised by her father, Kaikeya, that her son would become the king. That was the second part of the promise that we don't often hear about. So, of course, when she failed to deliver, there was two other wives. That kind of changed the circumstances somewhat. You see, the whole way in which Lord Ram appears is based on Dharma. You know the story in which Lord Ram appears in this world. How Dasharath and his three wives are desperately wanting a son to carry on the kingdom. There's no son. So what are they going to do? So they resort to Dharma. And they find a person who is the most dharmic person, who is situated in a place where Dharma is being followed. And his name, he was a young boy called Rishi Ashringa. And Rishi Ashringa was living with his father in the forest. And his father had arranged things that there was no women in the forest at all. Now, I would have found that strange and impossible that you can make arrangements where there's no women and where your son won't see any women. Had it not been for there are still places in this world where that is practiced for people who's intent on self-realization. And none of them has got anything to do with Krishna consciousness. I was living for some time in East Africa, and there is a monastery in Ethiopia. And in that tract of land, it's on a plateau, and the only way that you can get up there is by being in one of the monks pulls you up. So no women have been there for hundreds of years. I'm not saying this in class as a suggestion, not as a married man with two daughters. I would never make that suggestion. But at the bottom there's a sign, and the sign says in ancient Ethiopian script, it says, "Better to embrace a tiger than to embrace a woman." So then you go there and you can get in the basket and the monks they'll pull you up. And then you can. There's another place in Greece. If you look at a map of Greece, Greece is like three fingers poking into the sea. So this finger in Greece, if you go there, right on the end of that finger is a place, I forget the name, Mount Athos. Yeah, Mount Athos. And you go there and there's no even female animals. It's curious, but there have been cases where boys have been donated to the monks in Mount Athos, and they've lived there, and for all their life they've never seen a woman. Anyway, I'm neither saying it's a good thing nor a bad thing, but I just wanted to tell you that these are the circumstances that Rishi Ashringa was living in. And so Dasharatha was thinking, because there was a boon that wherever this boy came, there would be rain and there was drought in the kingdom of Kosala. Kosala was the kingdom, Ayodhya was the capital city, and that this boy would be able to, you know, bring Dharma back into the kingdom. So he said, how are we going to get him here? He's protected by his father. So they made an arrangement that off in the distance there was a rishi who'd been captured by an elephant. It was just a contrivance. And then they dressed up some girls as sadhus with saffron and, you know, tied up. And they were chanting the Vedas. So they approached Rishi Ashringa, and of course he was a boy of a certain age, and he looked at these young ladies dressed as sadhus, and he said, "What charming young brahmacharis." And they said, "We have our ashram just close by, and we wondered, there are some Vedic scriptures that you may not have heard that our guru would like to teach you." So he said, "Well, my father's not here at the moment. He told me to stay here. It'll just take a few minutes, that's all." Okay. So he was sweet-talked, you see. Again, malicious gossip. He was sweet-talked. And they took him to the ashram, but the ashram was on an island. So they had to go in a boat across to the island, and then little did he know that the island was actually many boats tied together with earth, and you know the ashram was built on top. So they floated downstream to Ayodhya. And as soon as Rishi Ashringa's feet touched the kingdom of Ayodhya, the clouds gathered and it rained. And then Dasharatha, he said very cleverly, he said, "Well, I have a beautiful daughter, and it said, you can marry her." So he married and he stayed. And from that, he performed the sacrifice which brought Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha to this world in the form of Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. So it is all based on what goes in the ear and what comes out of the mouth. So to be very careful, Ramayan tells us to be very cautious here. I wanted to say something about how we find. Yes. Sita wanted to follow her husband. And at one time, Ram tried to put her off. He said, "Sita, you're a princess." He said, "You won't have any nice clothes if you come with me in the forest." You see? And Sita said, I will have flowers. He said, these are the best clothes. But you won't have any nice food. Food which you eat and that I share will be the nicest food. But Sita, I'm telling you that in the forest there are places where men don't go. There is where there's wild animals. There are crocodiles. She said, oh, I've never seen a crocodile. I'd love to see a crocodile. So in this way, Sita was very clever in defeating all Lord Ram's arguments. Now, of course, Lakshman wanted to come, and Bharat also wanted to come. But you know that Bharat was eventually convinced by Lord Ram simply to take his sandals and go back to Ayodhya and be the king in his stead. But he said, I refuse to be the king. I want you to be the king. You come back to Ayodhya right now. This is really foolishness. 14 years in the jungle. How can you possibly do that? So Ram said, no, I've given my promise to my father. You see, even though the father had to follow the boon, he said, I've given my promise to my father, and therefore I have to follow. He said, but what I will do, I will now give you my shoes, my sandals. You take those sandals and put them on the throne. So those sandals were on the throne for 14 years, and Bharat was so devoted to Ram that he would only eat barley that had been cooked in cow urine. That was what he ate for 14 years. And there is such a wonderful play that in some towns in northern India, that this play of Ram finally coming home after 14 years, meeting with his brother Bharat. And everybody turns out. Hundreds of thousands of people line the streets. But the play has no script. There's a script, but no words. And all it is Lord Ram coming from one end of the town, fully dressed, a young boy dressed as Lord Ram, and a young boy dressed as Bharat, and coming together, and in the middle of the town square, they embrace. But at each point, there's different songs and festivities, and poetry is being read, and the whole town turns out to see Ram being reunited with his brother. And so this story is told over and over and over again, and this Ram and Bharat, the relationship between the two, and relationship between Ram and Lakshman, relationship between Ram and Hanuman, and of course the relationship between Ram and Sita. And so it's a Ramayana is a festival of relationships. Some more lessons from the Ramayana. First of all, the power of bad association. That's one lesson that we get from the Ramayana. Through the power of bad association, Kaikeyi was affected by Mantara's association. Ravan's army was affected by his association, and so on. One other lesson for us as devotees, being attached to service and not being attached to a position. The two things are completely different. Lord Ram was willing to be king as a service to Maharaj Dasharath. But when Dasharath did not want to give him that position, he was completely detached. So it was the service that he was attached to, not the position of being the king. We also reflect today on how we are asking Lord Ram to kill the demons that still reside within us, the ravenas within us, the demonic forces within us. We ask Ram with his arrows to put paid to those. One other lesson, that each of us as devotees is forced to make a choice between worldly pleasures or the Lord. When the citizens of Ayodhya learned that Lord Ram was going to the forest, each one of them had to make a decision whether to follow Ram into the forest or whether to stay in Ayodhya. They chose to go along with Lord Ram. But we have to remain alert in spiritual life. We have to stay awake in spiritual life, because when the citizens of Ayodhya fell asleep, Lord Ram deserted them and he went on his way. It is said the difference between Brahmins and Kshatriyas is that Kshatriyas have a voice like butter, but a heart like a knife. Whereas Brahmins have a heart like butter, but a voice like a knife.